नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः ओम अज्ञानतिमिरंध्रस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः नम ओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्याय नाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं हे कृष्ण करुणासिन्धो दीन बंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांता श्री राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी श्री राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
Hare Krishna. So we welcome all the devotees for today afternoon's Sunday feast program. So today, the topic for our discussion will be Krishna, the all-attractive Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we will see in the course of our discussion how is it that all of us we are worshipping Krishna, but although we are worshipping Krishna, still we are not feeling that attraction towards Krishna. Although we hear that Krishna is all attractive, still we do not feel that attraction towards Krishna. And we feel attraction towards other things of this world. So the first point of discussion is, who is attractive? If somebody has to become attractive, and practically every conditioned soul in the material world who wants to be the enjoyer wants to know this secret. Who is attractive? And there are so many self-help books which are being sold in the market to help people become attractive. So the question is, who is attractive? So I'll give a small example, and that is, assuming that today for the Sunday feast program we also invite Sachin Tendulkar. And he also comes and attends the program and sits here. Now, if this fact is advertised in all the nearby areas, what will be the estimate of the number of people who will attend the program? It may be significantly higher. And even our devotee crowd may increase. Who knows? Now the question is, why it is so? Simply by hearing this theoretical concept, I can see smiles on the face. Why is it that one feels this attraction? Now if he comes here and he sits down and I am giving the lecture and the main subject matter is being spoken by me, but I am sure majority of the people will be looking at him. And they will be thinking, just see, he is smiling now. Just see, he is glancing there. Now he is sleeping. So all the attraction is towards him. Although the main speaker has prepared a lecture and presenting with all kinds of shastric reference and this and that, But most of the people are looking there. Why? Because you know, this person will always be there, but he comes rarely. And plus there is an attraction. So the question is, why there is that attraction? Why? Although you know that, okay, Prabhuji is giving class and he is following regulative principles and he is chanting Hare Krishna, and that is the ultimate goal of life. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but still he is attractive. The question is why? And of course, we have to analyze this very deeply, because unless we understand this concept, we cannot develop our attraction towards Krishna. What makes one person attractive is he has a specific skill. He can play cricket very well, and because of that he has gained a lot of fame. He is very famous, skillful, expert, and in this way we find that because of possessing a certain energy, he has become attractive. Before he came into the cricket scene, he was not attractive. But after he has come and he has displayed his energies, then that attractive potency has developed. When he was 2 or 3 years old, he didn't have people going to him for autographs. But now people are running madly behind. Why? Because now the attractive potency has developed. The energies which he possesses. So to the extent a person possesses a certain energy, to that extent the person becomes attractive. That is the principle behind attraction. Otherwise, if you simply go by external looks or externals, then he is Indian, our devotee is Indian, he is Hindu, we are Hindu, you know, everything else seems to be quite common. He has two hands, I have two hands, two legs. But then what is there special? So there is some potency, some energy, and that energy makes him attractive. So this is the main principle which makes a person attractive: the presence of certain potency or energy. As Srila Prabhupada also explains, the downfall of India has taken place because people lost contact with the knowledge of Krishna's energies. And therefore, gross materialism has spread in and people have become more attracted to all kinds of external energies. And so someone who can play well, someone who can sing well, someone who possesses a lot of wealth, he becomes attractive. And one feels like emulating him, worshipping him, because of that potency which he has. As Bhavani Prabhu was explaining, that when Prabhupada first came to Calcutta, Bhavani Prabhu was driving Prabhupada in a car. And as they were driving through the roads of Calcutta, suddenly the horn of the car conked off. The horn was not working. And Bhavani Prabhu was mentioning that if you are driving in Calcutta, the most important part of the car is the horn. Otherwise you land up in accidents. And the horn was not working and he was desperate. And Prabhupada was very calm. He just turned to him and said, "Horn is not working?" He said, "Yes Prabhupada, horn is not working." Prabhupada turned to his disciple behind and said, "Bring my plate." And Prabhupada had a copper plate. He said, "Bring my spoon." So plate and spoon was given. So Prabhupada told Bhavanand Prabhu that whenever you want me to sound the horn, just tell me. And Prabhupada took his hand outside of the window, took the plate and spoon, and tum 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 tum, he was hitting with that. Whenever some vehicle would come, Prabhupada would hit like this. And this way the vehicle was going on with Prabhupada sounding the horn. And Prabhupada told Bhavanand Prabhu, "Just see, tomorrow Many people in Calcutta will be doing like this because they have seen Englishmen doing it. Because the Westerners are attractive and Indians are attracted because of the various energies which they possess. And therefore Prabhupada used the same psychology. He tried preaching in India. Not many people were responding, so Prabhupada said, let me go and bring some Western Vaishnavas, devotees from the West. So when he brought dancing white elephants, so many people took interest. So it is not that Krishna consciousness was born in the West. Krishna consciousness was very much part of Indian culture. But people were not taking sufficient interest. They were not sufficiently attracted. Anyone Prabhupada would preach to, they would say that we already know the Gita. What Gita you are teaching us? We already know. My father taught me, his father taught, our grandfather, everyone knows Gita. In fact, we can tell you a few things about Gita. So Prabhupada could never establish the message of Lord Chaitanya very strongly. So he went to the West and brought devotees. And then the psychology was, whether Krishna consciousness or Bhagavad Gita is attractive or not, people from the West are attractive. Anything American is attractive. Why? Because of the energies. Therefore this is the main principle, that when you have energies, then those energies make a person very attractive. And if you analyze anyone you are attracted to in this life, or anything you are attracted to, is because of the energies which that person or thing possesses, and that attracts you towards that person. As our one devotee recently, he was spending some time in Vrindavan, and he was seeing that as he was giving class, people were not feeling much attraction and they were not expressing much interest in the classes going on. So he decided to give one day class based on the theme of cricket. And so he wanted to relate Krishna consciousness, compare Krishna consciousness and Krishna Leela. So he began by saying that, you know how Krishna Leela is just like cricket. So people were kind of dozing or immediately woke up. Krishna Leela is like cricket, we never knew. Said, how? So he was saying that, just see, Krishna is like a pace bowler. He just takes all these demons and throws them full speed. And Balram is like spin bowler. He takes Dhenukasura spins and throws them. And all these demons who come and attack in Vrindavan, they are just like batsmen. They all have to get out. And Kamsa is like umpire standing and saying out. One gone, two gone, three gone. And immediately everyone became very much interested. And then he gave his whole lecture on the pastimes he wanted to speak. So why this attraction came about? Not because Krishna Leela is attractive, but because cricket is attractive. And therefore we see that depending on the kind of energies which exist, one becomes attracted. So now the point is that who becomes attracted? The attractive potency is there. Who becomes attracted? Who will become attracted? That is the most important question. Now suppose Sachin Tendulkar has come here, and all the audience here, they have some understanding of who he is. But suppose you bring some 20 people from Africa and make them sit here and introduce to them that this is Sachin Tendulkar. So as far as Africans are concerned, what difference it makes? You are bringing some cannibals from the middle of Africa and showing this is Sachin Tendulkar. They will compare who has more flesh, him or him, who will be more delicious. For them, there is no concept of someone playing a certain game. They have no idea, they have no knowledge. So unless you have knowledge about someone's potencies and energies, you cannot develop attraction towards him. And that is the second principle. Not only someone must have attractive potencies, but you must have knowledge about those potencies. And unless you have knowledge about those potencies, you cannot feel any attraction. You may think he is an ordinary person. And this happens all the time. Therefore, for those who are aware, for them, that becomes a very great major attraction. Otherwise, for someone who is not aware, just another ordinary person. So if we bring the baseball champion from United States and make him sit here, nobody will even recognize. Most of the people don't even recognize, because that is not a very well-known game here. That knowledge is not available. So even though people in the US may be mad behind him, but here people will just look at him and wonder, he's a new bhakta or something? Who is he? So the knowledge of his energies, of his potencies is not there. So not only one must possess potencies to be attractive, but to be attracted to someone, you must possess knowledge of his energies. And to the extent you possess knowledge of his energies, to that extent you will feel that attraction. That is the most fundamental principle. Like I remember when I was in school, I used to watch cricket on the TV. So my mother used to complain that you are not studying. So she would switch off all the time. So I was thinking how to overcome this problem. Some of you may have faced before. So I decided that she is switching it off because she doesn't understand cricket so much. She doesn't have appreciation. She doesn't have a taste for cricket. So the solution is I must give her a taste. She must develop that higher taste. So I taught her systematically that actually this is what cricket is all about. So every day for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, I would teach her that this is how the game is played and this is what it is. And sure enough, within 1 month, she was an addict. And then when my exam time used to be there, she would come and tell me, don't study so much, just watch. Some nice game is going on. That was the kind of addiction which brought about, because of the understanding, knowledge of what is going on. So when there is ignorance, there is no attraction. But when there is knowledge, one immediately becomes attracted. Therefore, the main principle is that if a person who displays some little energy, some little potency for some time in this world, how much attractive he becomes. Just for some time, someone displays some skill in a certain game. At a certain point in time, these players, they display their skills, manifest their energies, and after playing the game for some time, then those energies are taken away, they go into retirement. But for that 10-15 years where they are manifesting their energies, they become so powerful, they become so attractive and captivate the minds of the masses to such an extent that even years after their retirement, still their ads keep coming everywhere. Right? So even now you can see that if you are moving in Bombay City, you will see Kapil Dev's face everywhere. He is no longer playing, he is retired long time back. But you will see even now that the ads, they will contain Kapil Dev or Sunil Gavaskar. And these are people who have retired long time back and now they are no longer active, but because they displayed certain energies at that time, even now their attractive potency is so much. And very soon everything will be finished. So what to speak of someone who is displaying unlimited attractive potencies for unlimited period of time eternally. Either a singer or an actor or a player, he manifests his potencies and energies for a very, very limited period of time. And that too in one particular skill. Even that captivates the minds of the people and people go mad behind them. So can you imagine what will be the potency and power of someone who has unlimited amount of strength, beauty, knowledge, fame, renunciation, all of it eternally, without any diminution, without any loss. And therefore, we have to understand that Krishna is so all-attractive. But we do not find Him so because our knowledge of Krishna's energies has not developed to the extent we have developed knowledge of the energies of some great personalities of this world. Any time auction takes place at Sotheby's or one of these auction places in Britain, they will have some old paraphernalia of some rock star. One handkerchief belonging to Elvis Presley sold for 2.5 crores. He's a very famous rock singer, and one handkerchief, right? And people are willing to spend that much. Any ordinary handkerchief you show, anyone will buy? They will say, give it free. One handkerchief, 2.5 crores. Why? Because there is attraction. Why there is attraction? Because he has captivated the masses with his energy, the energy of the ability to sing, and people are going crazy behind that. And every day, so many dresses and so many garlands and so much of Maha is coming out from the Lord. Right? Who would pay that much of money? And generally we think Maha comes free anyway. But the Supreme Lord is so much more powerful. All of His paraphernalia is unlimitedly times more powerful and attractive. But people are not aware of it. We are not aware of it. And therefore, when there is no knowledge of energies, then one cannot feel any attraction. And hence, the Mayavadis are a very deadly lot, because the Mayavadis, they propagate this concept, no energies. If you want to finish off someone's existence, then no energies. What is Sachin Tendulkar without cricket? What is Elvis Presley without his singing? What is Amitabh Bachchan without his acting? So Mayavadis say, no, no energies. No energies exist. And therefore Mayavad is a very deadly concept, because as soon as you take away the energies, the very existence of the person is finished. And therefore, this concept was very strongly opposed by Srila Prabhupada, who established how Krishna has energies, transcendental spiritual energies, potencies. And unless this concept is understood, one cannot feel that attraction. Like two ladies came to Srila Prabhupada and they told Prabhupada that, Swamiji, we have been doing meditation for last 20 years. Prabhupada said, very good. What have you achieved after doing meditation for 20 years? And they said, you have developed the ability to remain silent after doing this meditation. Prabhupada said, even stones remain silent. And stones don't need any kind of training. So that is not a major achievement. Real meditation must be on the energies of Lord. And we can approach Krishna through His energies. And therefore Prabhupada has established through the Gita, through the Bhagavatam, the process of how we can approach through His energies. One time, Srila Prabhupada was in Harvard. He was in MIT and he was giving a lecture. And one student got up and he questioned Srila Prabhupada very arrogantly. And he looked at Prabhupada and said, so why do you wear this mark on your forehead? What is the meaning of this mark? Why do you wear this mark? And Prabhupada coolly looked at him and said, why do you wear this necktie on your neck? And that fellow got bewildered, started looking at his tie. He didn't have any answer, sat down quietly. And Prabhupada looked at him and said, When a sadhu has come, that is not a time for these frivolous questions about dress. You have to ask him fundamental questions about God and his energies. What is the power of God and how we can become attracted towards God? That is the subject matter of my discussion. And therefore Prabhupada, wherever he would go, he would preach very strongly about this principle. So who is Krishna? The definition of Krishna is given as one who possesses all six opulences in full. And therefore you can imagine that if any ordinary insignificant person of this world, who after some time is going to become old, senile, and will lose all of his ability to display his energies, which he displayed as a youth. So what is the power and glory of Krishna? And hence, we have to understand this with the right technique. Why we are not able to access Krishna's energies? And how we should lead our life in such a way that we can find Krishna all attractive as he is. So therefore, it is described that when Prabhupada established the Jagannath Rathyatra carts, Jagannath Rathyatra, one of the principles was the whole world should become aware that God is great. And so Prabhupada said we should not compromise at all, we should have huge, large carts. So one time during the Rathyatra, someone came and approached Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, why are you having such large cars? Why can't you have small ones, normal cars like people drive? And Prabhupada said, God is great. Great means he needs a great cart. Big means big cart. And you and me are insignificant small, so therefore small car. Therefore when Lord Jagannath goes, you need this. And a common person, when he first sees that sign, then he becomes aware, okay, something great is happening. And then his process of inquiry begins. He wants to know, who is God? And how can I become attracted to God? And things like this. And therefore, we have to appreciate this principle of knowledge of Krishna's energies. So Prabhupada presented all of these in the form of his literatures. And he has established the first premise that Krishna is the origin of everything and everyone. Janma vyasya yataha. And from where all the energies emanate. And all this knowledge is described in the books which Srila Prabhupada has written. So nobody can give an excuse that I have no understanding of Krishna's energies because that information is not available. All of Prabhupada's books contain simply that information of Krishna's energies. Someone was arguing with Prabhupada, who is the origin of God? And this is a typical question that people come and say, you say Krishna is the Supreme Lord, who created Krishna? So Prabhupada was also asked this question, who is the origin of Krishna? So Prabhupada said, as far as our understanding from the scriptures go, Krishna is the origin of everything. But if you have someone better, then we will start worshipping him. And if you don't have that, till then you worship Krishna. That is as simple as that. Rather than unnecessarily arguing. So the information is there in the scriptures, you just accept it and apply it. And hence, we are not attracted because we do not have sufficient knowledge of Krishna's energies. And because of that, we want to continue on in this material world, attracted by the material potencies. The example is that of Lord Brahma. So Lord Brahma, in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he sees Krishna playing with all of his cowherd boys. And then suddenly Brahma starts feeling that this person is ordinary. What to speak of ordinary people like us, even someone of the stature of Lord Brahma sometimes gets that feeling. And because he saw Krishna just playing like an ordinary boy. So Lord Brahma, he offended Krishna in one sense by testing his power and stole his covered boys and calves. Then Krishna revealed to him his potencies, and then Brahma comes to his senses. And now Lord Brahma is offering obeisances to Krishna and offering prayers to Krishna. And as he is offering prayers to Krishna, he is glorifying Krishna and saying, Naumiyate brava pushe tadit ambaraya gunjavatamsha paripichala samukhaya. My dear Lord, how can you blame me for getting bewildered? Because if any ordinary person comes and sees Krishna, what does he see? If someone has come to the temple and seen this deity form of Krishna for the first time, what will he think? He appears to be an ordinary person. Naumidyate bravapushe taditam varaya. You have a beautiful bluish complexion. You have clothes which are yellowish in color. Gunjavatamsa paripichalasam mukhaya. And you are wearing garlands. If somebody enters any assembly wearing garlands of gold, emeralds, rubies, all kinds of most wonderful resplendent jewels, right? Even if it may be imitation, but if it looks gold, at least people will stop and look for a second, right? And so much of gold jewelry all over the hands and all over the neck and everything immediately attracts, right? But when Krishna is roaming in the Vrindavan forests, what is his dress? Gunja. He is just wearing some ordinary pearls. And gunja means wild flowers. He is wearing a garland of ordinary flowers. Paripichha lasan mukhaya. Where do people go and buy their golden jewelry? In jewelry shops, where there is security guard. And where do they buy their flower garlands? Outside railway station. Right? You don't get golden jewelry outside railway station. But typically, if you have to get garlands, you say, okay, when you are coming back, just outside Grand Cross station, you know, you can buy and come. So, ordinary wild flowers and garlands which are easily available, they don't appear to be very attractive in one sense, from the material point of view. And paripichya, and Krishna has a unique peacock feather. Right? Peacock feather. And what is peacock feather? It is not something which you would put in your treasury or put in your bank vault. Peacock feathers are easily available. And peacock feather is something which is thrown away by the peacock from its body. And that is being put by Krishna. That is not something which somebody would exchange as a matter of giving some great gift or exchange of wealth. And vanyasraje kavala netra vitanavenu. And Krishna saw, Brahmaji saw that Krishna had in his hand kavala. Krishna in his hand had curd and rice. That was the food which this boy was eating. So when you are looking at someone, the first thing you observe is his dress. And if he is entering with completely ragged clothes, very ordinary looking, then nobody will even take notice. And the other thing you may see is, what does he eat? So if someone comes and says, I just had lunch at Taj, you know, and I am going for dinner at Leela Kempinski, and tomorrow morning I have to go to Oberoi. So then, if you just overhear someone speaking like this in the train, sometimes in local trains in Bombay people are talking on mobile. And even nothing is happening, sometimes to impress people they speak like that. Right. And they enjoy seeing other people getting stunned. So, even if you hear that someone is having this kind of dinner and lunch engagements, you may feel, must be a big party. And if you say that what do you eat every day for your lunch, like curd rice, so that doesn't impress too much. And if we start giving out only curd rice for our programs, We say, today we are going to have a feast, curd rice, unlimited. So even our regular people may reduce. And then they think that we can have there also. So Krishna is having curd rice. So by seeing that also, you cannot become very much impressed. Kavala Vetra, and he has a stick. He has a stick for herding cows. So nowadays, who becomes attractive? Politicians, because they are surrounded by gunmen with AK-47, right? If you go to Kumbh Mela, you will see even some Naga Babas have gunmen surrounding them. And many people in modern society, even if they don't need security, they spend money and get security just to create an impression. Because if 4 or 5 gunmen are moving around and you are walking by, people step back and look, oh, must be great. So great, someone wants to kill him. So he's definitely worth worshipping. Right. That is the message people want to give. And if you are wearing a suit, tie, nice clothes, perfume, briefcase in hand, and one stick in another hand, right, that will look totally odd. Nobody is going to become attracted to a stick. And Krishna is just carrying a small stick for herding cows. Vanyasraje kavala vetra vitana and venu. And what is the musical instrument he has? Flute. Not the most costliest musical instrument. If somebody is carrying guitar case or a Yamaha case, you know, which costly musical instruments, you may feel, okay, standard is ka. And if somebody is just moving around with a flute in hand, so you may think, okay, train mein ghumta hoga. Right. Unless you have an understanding of Krishna consciousness, it's very difficult to appreciate that, because it is just a stick. Anyone can get it and poke some holes and start playing. So Brahmaji is seeing this flute. So all these seems to be possessions of very, very ordinary people. And Lakshma Shriye Murudupade Pashupangayaya. And also the family which Krishna is belonging to is Pashupangajaya. So Brahma, after watching all this, was wondering which family is coming from. Because sometimes even sons of very aristocratic people may roam around very normally, hardly showing any opulence. So better to cross check, okay, which family he comes in. So Pashupangajaya, he is coming in family of cowherd boys. That means they have the business of taking care of cows. So therefore, Brahma is saying, how is it possible that I can become convinced that you are the supreme? Somebody may come in normal jeans and t-shirt, you know. Then you ask him, oh, what's your name? He says, Sunil Ambani. He said, oh, surname Ambani. So immediately you become little watchful. And then you take the conversation ahead. At certain point you will say, you have any connection with that Ambani? And then if he says yes, so immediately you will offer him asana, offer him all kinds of special respect. Because you understand he is coming from a big family. But apparently, if you just analyze, then from an external point of view, all these things do not appear in Krishna's case. And so Brahmaji is kind of giving his initial statement that I became confused. It's quite natural. Because by looking at you, it is very, very difficult to be convinced that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just by looking at Krishna, how can anyone be convinced this is Supreme Lord? And many times we have children coming to our temple, and previously we used to have fountain, right here, like a long fountain. And I have seen sometimes some children desperately trying to cross that fountain to get inside the altar and climb on top of the altar. Why? Because of monkey. Because they are attracted to monkey. They want to catch the monkey or take the monkey. So you show them Krishna, they are not observing Krishna. They are not being attracted and enchanted by the form of the Lord, but they are watching some other animal there and they are feeling attraction for that. So therefore, to the extent one's understanding of who Krishna is increases, to that extent one will develop an attraction for the Lord. One will develop a feeling for the Lord and feel like serving the Lord. Like one of Prabhupada's disciples, lady disciple, had a son and he was a small boy. And as soon as Prabhupada would enter the temple hall and the boy would see Prabhupada, he would start shouting, looking at Prabhupada, pointing to him, "Cookie! Cookie! Cookie!" So, and Prabhupada would finish the lecture, he would walk out, the boy would come to Prabhupada and shout, "Cookie! Cookie! Cookie!" And Prabhupada asked the mother, "What is he saying?" And mother said, "Because every time you keep giving cookie to him, as soon as he sees you, he remembers cookie. He feels he is going to get that cookie. And that is the most attractive thing for him, because he is aware of the power of the cookie. So he may not know who Prabhupada is, but because he is aware of that cookie, he is attracted to that. And he feels that is very attractive, and any source from where that comes, okay, I am willing to worship." So similarly, Brahma here is saying that, "My dear Lord, as far as your form is concerned, simply by looking at your form, nobody can figure out what your power is." And so in the next verse he says that, "Asyapi deva vapusho madanugrahasya swechamayasanto bhutamayasya kopi." You appear in this world out of your own free will to reciprocate with the devotees, and for no other reason. And when you appear in your beautiful self-same form as Krishna, then nobody can understand your pastimes unless they understand your potencies. And he says, "Neshe mahi avasitum manasantarena." The greatest mistake which I committed was that I tried to understand your pastimes without understanding your potencies. So the law in spiritual life is, if you try to understand anyone's pastimes or activities without understanding their power, then that is the seed for offense. The seed for misjudgment, miscalculation and offense is that when you try to understand someone's activities and pastimes without understanding their power and potency. And therefore, to understand the power of Krishna, the potency of Krishna, his energies, is most important. And therefore Brahma is saying, he is analyzing where he went wrong. How could I commit this mistake? I saw you and I saw your activities, but I did not know your powers. I misjudged the extent of your powers, and so I committed this grave error. So this is most important. Nishemani avasitum manasantarena. And we have the example of Prabhupada. Then when Prabhupada was in Holland and there was temple opening going on that occasion practically everything was going wrong that day. There was supposed to be DT installation, but nothing was ready. And Prabhupada was shouting at everyone, "Where are the fruits? Where is the Yajnashala? Where is this? Where is that?" And when Prabhupada was shouting and giving instructions, suddenly Prabhupada heard some banging sound from inside the altar. So Prabhupada immediately got up and went inside. The curtain was closed. And Prabhupada saw inside that the devotees had made the altar, but the size of the altar was small and the size of the deities was big. So Jagannath was not being fitted inside. So devotees were trying to, at an angle, push him inside. And therefore the sound was coming, thok, 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 like that. Like sometimes in railway train you put your suitcase inside, underneath the chair. So like that they were pushing, and Prabhupada shouted, "What is this? This is Jagannath. You can't insert him like this." So devotee said, "What should we do?" Prabhupada said, "Cut off the top." He said, "But this is the most beautiful part of the altar with all the carvings, and Prabhupada said, no problem, remove it. So devotees removed that, and Jagannath was put inside, and that part of the altar was taken out, and devotees carried it outside. And as they walked outside, all the guests thought that the ceremony has begun, and there were so many cameramen, they were taking that shot, thinking it is part of a Hindu custom. And then Prabhupada came out fuming, and then the altar opened and things were going on, and Prabhupada was still giving instructions and shouting, and there was one hippie who was sitting behind Prabhupada, and he was having a japmala in his hand, and he was observing Prabhupada for some time, and then at a certain point he tapped Prabhupada from behind, showed him the mala and said, don't be angry Swamiji, chant Hare Krishna. So you can imagine, when would anyone do this? When he doesn't know who this person is. Right. He is telling Prabhupada that you chant Hare Krishna. Can imagine. So many times in our own life also, when we are dealing and interacting, then we may not be aware so much. And we may misjudge devotees. And we may commit offenses towards them. And speak in certain ways which may pain others' heart. Just like Brahma, he is saying, Neshe mihi avasitum manasantarena. Many times it may not be possible to exactly analyze and understand someone's potency and power. And therefore Brahmaji is saying, please forgive me my Lord, it was a great offense that I tried to calculate your pastimes without understanding the extent of your unlimited power. That is the seed for every offense. And therefore, the question which arises is, how to get the knowledge of these energies? How to get knowledge of Krishna's energies? How to understand how Krishna is all-powerful? How do we get knowledge of anyone's energies in this world? How do all of you know that Sachin Tendulkar is such a famous cricketer? How many of you have actually seen him live in action? How many people have actually met him in person? How many people have actually seen Amitabh Bachchan directly and shaken hands with him or saw him or actually seen some of his activities personally? Still so much worship is going on, so much attraction is there for these mundane persons. Why? How did everyone get to know the knowledge? How did the knowledge spread? The knowledge was spread through the media. Through electronic media, through print media. So when there is massive propagation of the knowledge of someone's energies, then people become aware of those energies. And when they become aware of those energies, they become attracted towards that person madly. And that attraction reaches their level of worship. So do not think that this newspaper, magazine, television, cinema, internet, email, all forms of media, they are double-edged sword. Either they attract you more towards materialistic people, or they can become instruments for you to cut off that attachment. The more you read about someone, the more you hear about someone's glories, the more you become attracted towards them. Otherwise, just imagine, if there is a situation where a cricket match is going on somewhere in the middle of Pakistan, and just for a second imagine there is no TV, no internet, no newspaper, no magazine, no mobile phone, nothing. And the program and the match is going on in the middle of some stadium. How many people will become aware? And there is no news reporting afterwards also. Few people played, something happened, and unless you directly meet the players, you won't come to know also what happened. In this situation, will people have this kind of a hype? Why the hype is created? because there is propagation through the media. Right? Times of India, full front page, from top to bottom is filled with cricket. From headlines onwards, even the title Times of India also has few cricketers on all sides. And they are giving it name, Park Raman. Right? You have heard Radha Raman. And now this is Park Raman. So much of propaganda is going on. Even if someone not interested in cricket, he will feel, oh, let me see, why so much bombardment going on? Because there is bombardment through media, there is knowledge. And when you develop knowledge of those energies, you become enchanted and attracted. And not only that, all through these mobile phones, you can dial some number and hear commentary. Right? And I was not aware. One of my programs, one fellow was sitting and he was hearing lecture. And on one ear he was holding his mobile phone for at least 10 minutes. And he was not speaking also. So after the program I asked him, what you were doing? He said, hearing commentary. So he had the best of both worlds, spiritual knowledge and material knowledge. As long as there is propagation of knowledge through any means, people will become enchanted and attracted. So just imagine the power of media. So do not think this media is just an ordinary thing. It is a means by which your attraction towards material people, material world, materialistic knowledge will enhance and increase, and that will act as shackles to be part of this material world. Just cut off all information of what is going on in the world, or decrease it to the bare minimum, and very soon you will find that kind of attraction is no longer there. Therefore, the law of association works. Initially you meet someone, you are not so much friendly. The more you spend time with someone, you develop attraction towards him. You become more friendly. Why? You have spent more time. So more time you spend with internet, more time you spend with TV, more time you spend with newspapers and magazines, the more you will develop attraction for subject matter there, and more you will develop attraction for the personalities being glorified there, and the more you will feel like worshipping those people. And it is addicting, because you are already keeping track, so you want to know more. Whereas, the more you understand that Krishna is the Supreme and I have to know something about Him, then the more you are spending time hearing about Krishna, the more time you spend with the Holy Name, the more you develop attraction to the Holy Name. The more time you spend with Srimad Bhagavatam, so you will become friends with Srimad Bhagavatam. More time you spend in temple with the deities, the more you will feel an attraction. It is just like any relationship process. The more time you spend with someone, the more familiar you will become attracted, and you will develop a strong bond. So rather than spending time with material energies, material knowledge, material information, spend time with the Holy Name, spend time with Bhagavatam, spend time with deities and the devotees who are constantly speaking about Krishna. And through this process, one will develop attraction towards Krishna. This is the process of developing attraction. This is the process of getting knowledge of His energies. So right now, all the inputs going into our system are more or less materialistic. So when we replace those inputs with spiritual inputs, so more knowledge we get from the Gita, from the Bhagavad about Krishna, about Krishna's energies. Otherwise, by seeing Krishna, simply seeing the deity, what can you understand? What is the whole concept of introducing a speaker? When a speaker comes for the first time and the audience is sitting and someone introduces, everyone can see that fellow is sitting here. But still you have to say, today we have with us so and so Prabhu. Right? And depending on how you introduce, people are going to react to that. So you say, so Prabhuji is a great soul. He was in school for many, many years. He tried a lot in his 10th standard, but then he decided not to be attached to results. And finally, when he couldn't do anything, he tried his time in Hare Krishna. There also he is having difficulty. Very soon he is going to leave, but before that he has come to give last lecture today on the topic Secret of Success. So how many people will sit and hear? So whatever little interest people had in hearing, after hearing the introduction, they will say, we'll come after 1 hour for prasad. So what has changed? The propaganda. Seeing the object, nobody had any idea. But hearing the propaganda, your opinions have been automatically molded. Therefore, what is important is that Srimad Bhagavatam class, Gita class is nothing but we are introducing Krishna. Okay, we are pleased to present before you Shishunada Gopinath, who is the main presiding deities. We are pleased to present Gaur Nithai. Who are they? We will explain. Only these introductions take longer time. 1 hour, 1.5 hours. But we are introducing. Introduction means what? Telling people about the energies. Otherwise, seeing the person, you can't be introducing person like, Aaj phalana phalana Prabhu aaye hain. 5 foot 10 inch hai inka height. Brown rang ke aankhein hain. Yahan par ek nishan hai. So this is not like police introduction. Inka weight abhi 60 hai. Jab pehle aaye the 45 tha. Sab prasad ki daya hai. So are you giving the exact weight, height, physical description? So when there is introduction, it is not description of someone's physique, someone's external qualities, but his energies. Otherwise other things even people can see. Yeah, we can see. You don't have to give exact description of what is his height and weight. So when we say introduce, introduce means what? Not just say what is his height, what is his weight, what is his color, what is his blood group. Right, for a certain purpose that may be so, but here when everyone is sitting, introduction has to take place means there will be description about his energies. What has he achieved and what can he possibly do? What are his powers? So similarly, when we are observing Krishna, we can all see the size of the deity, the color of the deity, everything. That is also attractive. But that real attraction will develop when we have understanding of his powers, his energies. So the only difference is, as soon as we hear some material energy, knowledge of material energy, it enters straight inside because we are already tuned in. But to tune in to the process of Krishna's energies takes some time, because the mind keeps switching off, the mind keeps rebelling. So therefore there is a complete process recommended by which you can tune in to hear and understand and get knowledge of Krishna's energies. And that is a gradual process. So the Shastras say, Atah Sri Krishna Namadi Na Bhavet Grahyam Indriya. By gross senses you can't catch the knowledge of Krishna's energies. Sevam Mukhe Hi Jihuvado. So therefore you start chanting, start honoring prasad, start associating with devotees. Then when we hear all the knowledge of Krishna's energies, it enters, it penetrates, it seeps deep within, and gradually we develop an attraction. We become disenchanted with material energy and start feeling attraction towards Krishna. So that is a bona fide process. And therefore in this process of trying to become Krishna conscious and reading Gita and reading Bhagavat, but along with that, when we keep reading all the other materialistic things also, like magazines and newspapers and internet and all the other mundane knowledge which is just on the category of prajalpa, then that simply acts as an impediment in developing our attraction. It washes away whatever little attraction we are developing towards the spiritual knowledge of Krishna's energies. And therefore, you can actually try as an experiment that if you keep away from any kind of mundane knowledge which is not exactly required for maintaining your livelihood or maintaining your family, but simply information which will agitate your mind about people and things of this world, if you just keep away for some time and just concentrate on chanting, reading, doing your work and hearing spiritual literatures, you will see an enormous difference. And then you will realize that, my God, so many years or so many weeks of reading all these mundane literatures and stuff was actually like pouring water on the fire. It was like pouring sand on that fire. It is more deadly than you can even imagine. It is unnecessarily prolonging your developing attraction for Krishna. Because both these knowledge are contradicting. We are trying to develop knowledge of Krishna and feel attraction for Krishna, but more and more we develop knowledge for matter and people of this world, then half of our attraction turns towards there also, and our attraction for Krishna wanes away. Therefore, Prabhupada explains that one should develop our attraction towards Krishna by the process of chanting and hearing as recommended in the revealed scriptures. One time Srila Prabhupada was at Portland, and then he saw at a crossing there was billboard, right? And the billboard was written, "Enjoy Coca-Cola." And it was written that everything tastes better with Coca-Cola. So when Prabhupada saw this, he told the devotees, "So I recommend that you write a letter to this Coca-Cola company and just tell them that they can keep the product, the drink as it is, ask them to change the name to Hare Krishna. So the billboard should become Enjoy Hare Krishna. Everything in life becomes tastier with Hare Krishna. So wherever they have Coca-Cola, if they replace with Hare Krishna, just imagine how much the people have become purified." So Prabhupada was always thinking in terms of how to propagate this information more and more. So therefore this propaganda is most important. And the propaganda exists, but how much we are willing to access that propaganda, that is up to each individual soul. And so, to understand this message, Brahmaji is giving his conclusion that, "My dear Lord, I made this mistake, but now I recommend to all generations in future that if you have to understand Krishna, then you have to follow this principle. Jnane prayasam udapasya namanta eva jivanti sammukharitam bhavadiya varta." First principle is you have to give up mental speculation. That means, do not try to imagine something about Krishna. Give up mental speculation. Don't try to understand Krishna with one's imperfect senses, as Brahmaji has realized from his error. So, jnane prayasam. So, Prabhupada mentions there is a great difference between mental speculation and philosophical speculation. So, what is the difference between philosophical speculation and mental speculation? So, philosophical speculation consists of 5 steps. Philosophical speculation begins by first hearing about Krishna. The basis for philosophical speculation is Shabda. You first hear from Shastra. Right? You hear from Bhagavatam, hear from Gita, what they say about Krishna. That is step one. Then, based on that, you may have certain sensory experiences and then you may have certain mental conclusions. That should coincide and reconfirm the Shabda. So then Prabhupada gives the example that suppose Krishna says in Gita, "Rasoham apso kaunteya." I am the pure taste of water, Krishna says. So we heard it. We say it is from the Gita. Okay, now we taste water. So when we are tasting water, we are having pratyaksha, direct experience. And now, the anuman which we will have will consist of 5 steps. That anuman is now known as philosophical speculation. Because it is following shabda, and then the sensory experience or pratyaksha is following that. And so, we are trying to correlate that pratyaksha with the shabda with our anuman, which is known as philosophical speculation. So the first step in that is that you try to recognize or try to realize how this is so. So that is the first step, that you are realizing or trying to recognize how this water is pure. How Krishna is the source of this water, is the taste of this water. So you are trying to reflect. So that is the first step, reflection. So reflection means you must be able to correlate your pratyaksha, your experience, with what you have heard in Shastra. Right? Most of the times people are so much in anxiety, they don't even consider what Krishna has said in Gita regarding water. So when you correlate your pratyaksha with the shabda, that is the first step, which is known as reflection. Then second stage is that you try to gather data from other scriptures apart from Gita where similar sentiment is mentioned about Krishna and his energies and Krishna being the pure taste of water. So that is known as creation. That means you create other sources of information where the similar point that Krishna is the taste of water is mentioned. So that is to confirm. So second step is creation. Third step is you refer to other literatures or other so-called deviant philosophies which do not accept Krishna's energies. Like Mayavad, which say Jagan Mithya. And then, based on the experience you had, you understand my experience is real. So therefore, how these philosophies are wrong. So that reconfirms your faith in Gita and what Krishna is saying. So the third step is called criticism. So first is reflection, then second is creation, third is criticism of negating all the others which are against this philosophy. Then fourth step is appreciation. So you will appreciate, okay, the taste is real and the water is pure and Krishna is saying that Krishna is the taste of water and therefore I can understand the taste of this pure water is also Krishna. It is possible. So that is known as appreciation. And then the fifth step is when Krishna sees the devotee appreciate his words. And when Krishna feels that my devotee is putting faith in my words, then the fifth step is reciprocation. That Krishna from within gives him that knowledge, gives him that tangible experience, by which this data which was analyzed by him ultimately becomes confirmed as a realization. That is because of Krishna's reciprocation. So these are the 5 steps in philosophical speculation. And this is known as Shabdanuloka Praman. And unless we follow these steps, one will go into the realm of mental speculation, where the anuman is based on pratyaksha jnana. And therefore it does not have any definite proper boundaries by which the thinking process can go to a definite conclusion. And hence it is known as mental speculation. It is not based on some authoritative source. It is based on one's own imperfect sensory data inputs. And so Brahmaji is saying we have to give up this jnane prayasam. Because many times when we say we have to give up jnane prayasam vagapasa, people say, but Gita is also jnan, Bhagavat is also jnan, all the scriptures are also jnan. But here we are talking of philosophical speculation. We have to engage in philosophical speculation, not mental speculation. Jnane prayasam udapasya. So like that. So by this, we can understand this message as Krishna is explaining in the Shastras. So in conclusion, Krishna is the most powerful of all, and Brahmaji is concluding by saying, step one, give up mental speculation. Then step two, Jivanti Sanmukharitam Bhavadiya Varta. Hear about Krishna from bona fide sources. Hear Bhagavatam, read Bhagavatam. Read and hear these scriptures daily. Even if you are working, don't have time, take out half an hour in the morning, 15 minutes in the morning. Unless you do that, there is no chance that you will develop this kind of an attraction. Therefore Prabhupada said, one must read my books or at least hear the tapes on a regular basis. Otherwise the bombardment of material energy is so severe, so strong, that the shackles of attraction will just bind us. It will stifle our enthusiasm in Krishna consciousness and not allow to develop that attraction for Krishna. And years may pass by, but that attraction for the chanting, for Bhagavatam, for the holy dham, for service to Vaishnavas, for the deities, will never arise. Why? Because we have not understood this concept, this fundamental principle of how attraction is developed in the first place. And so, in conclusion, Ramaji is saying, sthane sthita. For that, stay where you are. Don't have to change situation. If you are grihastha, be at home. But you have your whole family centered around Krishna consciousness. The family can come together, chant, hear Bhagavatam, everything. And therefore, this is the reason why Krishna has appeared in this most wonderful incarnation as Krishna himself, Swayam Bhagavan, and through that he is attracting and enchanting the hearts of all. So what is the stage of pure attraction can be seen in the life of the gopis. Tarunyamrita paravar taranga lavanyasar tatake avarta bhavut gama. Vamsi dhvani chakravat narir manatrinapat tatake dubayena udgama. So Chaitanya Charitamrita describes that how when the soul actually develops its full attraction for Krishna, like the gopis did, what is that experience like, which is our ultimate goal, to follow in the footsteps and be servants of these gopis. Tarunyamrita paravar. So it is described that Krishna's youth is just like an ocean. Tarunyamrita paravar taranga lavanyasar. And Krishna's beauty is just like the waves in this ocean. And the ecstasy, the loving ecstasy which is generated by Krishna in the hearts of his devotees is compared to avarta or a whirlpool. Avarta means bhora or whirlpool which sucks everything inside. So Krishna's form and Krishna's youth, just like the ocean and the waves, and then tatake avarta bhavodgama, the feeling of ecstasy or ecstatic attraction towards Krishna is just like that avarta or whirlpool. Vamsi dhvani chakravat, and Krishna plays upon his flute, so the sound of Krishna's flute is like a chakravat. It is like a whirlwind. So simultaneously there is a whirlwind. And when the whirlwind comes up, what happens on the land? All the leaves, grasses, straw, all of that is just pulled up by the power of that whirlwind. Vamsi dhvani chakravat narir manatrinapat. So all the gopis' minds are compared to grass. So gopis' minds are just like grass, and as soon as the whirlwind of Krishna's flute attacks, immediately that grass is lifted by the whirlwind. Helplessly. You have seen in whirlwind how the grass and how the leaves, they are lifted up helplessly and carried straight to this ocean and brought to that avarta or whirlpool and thrown right in the middle of that whirlpool. And as soon as that grass falls into that whirlpool, the whirlpool sucks it inside. Tatake dubai na udgama. And once it sinks deep inside, that piece of grass can never come up again. It has become completely sucked in by the whirlpool of the bhava or feelings of love and devotion for Krishna, that is the minds of the gopis. And why they have developed? Because they are on that stage. They are on that stage where they are experiencing that attraction for Krishna. So therefore Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has told us, Gopir Bhartur Padakamalayor Das Das Dasanu Das. So if we want to develop a similar attraction for Krishna, and if we want to develop intense attachment for Krishna, then the process is to become the servant of the servant of Krishna's representatives, following in the footsteps of the gopis. So when Prabhupada was, he came to the West, in one radio interview, one man asked him, why you have come to the West? And Prabhupada said, to remind the Americans what they have forgotten. So the interviewer asked, does it mean you are some kind of a messiah? Prabhupada said, yes, I am a messiah. So the interviewer asked, does it mean that God has sent you? Who has sent you? And Prabhupada said, my Guru Maharaj has sent me. And the man was very impressed. Because Prabhupada didn't say, God has sent me. Prabhupada said, my spiritual master has sent me. And so Prabhupada was in that mood of being the servant. And in this way, when we also take up this process, in the mood of being servant of Krishna's devotees, and be in the association of those who have developed that attraction, then gradually Krishna will start revealing the knowledge of his energies. The difference between material knowledge and spiritual knowledge is, all you have to do is access material knowledge by opening a certain site, opening a certain page of a book, and bombard it upon your intelligence, and you become immediately permeated with that knowledge. But spiritual knowledge about Krishna's energies is not like that. Krishna has to reveal, and then the knowledge ultimately makes sense, and one experiences this feeling. So therefore, we are very grateful to Srila Prabhupada that he has given us this opportunity to experience an attraction for Krishna in this very lifetime by chanting Hare Krishna, by practicing these regulative principles, by reading his books, and coming together for all kinds of festivals and wonderful occasions to glorify Krishna. And for that Prabhupada had to take that great torturous journey through the ship to the West and then come back and write all these books. Why? So that we can understand how to develop attraction towards Krishna. Right, so Prabhupada was asked by one of the people in the West, a newspaper man, Indian man in the West. He was an Indian reporter in the West, and he asked Prabhupada, Swamiji, why you have come to the West? Why you didn't stay in India? Why you have come to the West? And Prabhupada looked at him and asked him, why have you come to the West? You are also Indian. Why you have come to the West? And that man said, for higher prospects. Prabhupada said, me too. For higher prospects. Because people in India are not accepting this message. So Prabhupada came and then preached and brought back, and with the help of all the influence, money, technology, he has published and printed so much of literature, millions of books. But unfortunately, we don't even have little time to put some energy to read and study these books. And Prabhupada has spent sleepless nights writing these books, presenting these literatures. All he expects is we spend some time trying to have some inputs from these books so that we develop an attraction and attachment towards Krishna. And in this way, we will experience gradually that Krishna is all attractive. I thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So are there any questions? Is there any question or... After the question answers, there will be a video on the 60 years of Back to Godhead magazine. As I was mentioning, Prabhupada had started this Back to Godhead magazine in 1944. So 60 years of BTG will be presented. It's a video show. And that will be after the question answers. That means in case there are some questions. So you ready to set up? Where is the LCD screen? Yeah.
Prabhu, Hare Krishna. Swami Vivekananda had written very, very long ago saying only high personalities, high persons will remain as symbol, speak symbol, preach symbol. On this route we can think it of Mahatma Gandhi remained as symbol by having about 7 personal articles, gave this country freedom. Another example, J.R.D. Tata, one of the world's the most celebrated industrialist, he himself carried whenever he wanted the files. When attraction comes, the fancy attraction, egoist attractions. When America created atom bomb, Russia came again with attraction we want her. Similarly, some other country has gone along. About 13 countries are having atom bombs. Atom bombs will destroy the country, the world within minutes. So attraction, the fancy attraction is very, very, very dangerous to life. Prabhu, are you advocating attraction towards simplicity? You might think it of a saint, preach all his life as symbol, giving lectures to the people like us who are here to understand many things. Attraction towards the temples, attraction towards the simplicity by which peace, prosperity, compassion can come, by which Krishna consciousness can be propagated throughout the world. That is my point.
Thank you. So next question says, Jnana Marga focuses on mental speculation or philosophical speculation. So basically I mentioned about philosophical speculation and mental speculation. And Jnana Marga is basically focusing on mental speculation because it is based on developing your own perceptions of what reality is. And it is not based on Shastric understanding. Like Prabhupada had a close friend, Dr. Patel. If you hear Prabhupada's lectures or especially conversations at Juhu Beach, Dr. Patel is generally present on most of the conversations. And whenever Prabhupada would present something, Dr. Patel would also speak something. And then Prabhupada would say something and then the devotees would get disturbed. that sometimes we hear Dr. Patel saying like this, sometimes he's saying like that. And one day, an incident happened, and Prabhupada was explaining about the Gita, that Krishna says in 9th chapter that, just see, everything is in me, still I am not in them. And then Krishna says immediately in the next verse, first he says, I am everywhere. And then in the next verse Krishna says, but although everything is in me, I am not in them. So it appears as contradiction. So as soon as Dr. Patel heard this, he said, actually what happened was Krishna first spoke the previous verse, then he thought I have made a mistake. So in the next verse immediately he changed. And Prabhupada became very wild. And Prabhupada chastised him heavily. And then Dr. Patel, when he heard that chastisement, he also became angry. Why you are saying Mayavad and this and that? And the devotees, they approached Prabhupada later and said, Prabhupada, this Dr. Patel, I don't know why you are encouraging him so much. Sometimes if you are saying something, it appears he is agreeing. Other times something else he is agreeing. We don't know what his exact stance is. And today when you smashed Mayavad, he became very angry. So Prabhupada said, actually to understand Dr. Patel, you have to know a story. Said, there was a man in a village, a scholar who came to a village, and he knew many languages. And he gave a challenge to all the villagers. I give a challenge that you find out what is my mother tongue. So nobody was able to guess mother tongue, because he was fluent in so many languages. So one fellow gave a suggestion, that when he is sleeping, you go from behind and take one broomstick, and that broomstick has a, you know, sharp corner. So poke that in his nose. When he gets up, then you hear which language he shouts. So that person did that, and he shouted, screamed loudly. And then immediately people were surrounding, said, this is your mother tongue. So Prabhupada said, that many times people may speak many languages, but when you hit them, then the real language comes out. So Dr. Patel, it appears that he appreciates Vishishtadvaita, he appreciates Achintabhedabhed, this, that, so many things, because the way he speaks is confusing, but if you want to know his real language, hit him. So when you hit him on Mayavad, immediately he will react. And then you know, he is a Mayavadi. So that is his real language. Right. So therefore, as far as jnanis are concerned, they concentrate more on this mental speculation. They do not accept this Shastra Pramana. And on the other hand, the other type of mental speculators are the scientists, who are also taking inputs from their senses, and then based on that they are deriving certain conclusions. So they are just trying to extrapolate based on limited data which they have. Right, so all these paleontologists, archaeologists, they are coming up with so many theories. So Prabhupada, he was in Vishakhapatnam, and one archaeologist came and he met Prabhupada. And Prabhupada asked, who are you? And the man said, I am Mr. So and so. So Prabhupada said, what do you do? I am an archaeologist. So what does that mean? What do you do? He said, I study primitive people. And then he asked Prabhupada, Swamiji, what do you do? Prabhupada said, I study advanced people. That means those who are great kings, Rajarishis, we are studying them. What you will do by studying ancient people? What you will get? So you try to understand what real history is through the Shastra, and give up your process of speculation by collecting some rock samples here and there. You are arriving at a whole theory. That is also mental speculation. Okay? So now we'll have this presentation. I'm back to Godhead. Shri Prabhupada ki Jai Gopinanande. This is one of those rare days where I've been asked to speak more. Any other question? Anyone has any other doubt? For the sake of the BTG film. Yeah. How can we use our propensity for mental speculation? So basically, it is an anartha, and it is a very dangerous method, and so the way we should approach this whole problem is try to give it up as much as possible. So if you have a mind which has a speculative tendency, you can rather use it for philosophical speculation. So that is much better. Right? Like some devotee approached Srila Prabhupada and said that, I am not able to understand that, you know, all of these, the number of teachers which were there for Krishna's grandchildren in Dwarka, it runs into several hundred crores. They are just the teachers, the tuition teachers for Krishna's grandchildren in Dwarka. The population of that into several hundred crores. And how is it possible? I can't understand. So Prabhupada said, when it comes to knowledge given in Bhagavatam and Krishna Lila, don't speculate. Right? Or Pushkar Prabhu was explaining how he made a painting. And he made this painting about some Krishna in the forest of Vrindavan in a certain way. And Prabhupada saw this painting. And the first question Prabhupada asked was, where is it in the books? Based on which pastime have you made this painting? And he tried to defend, because he had actually imagined a scene which he relished, and he made that. And he told Prabhupada, but Prabhupada, Krishna is unlimited. Prabhupada said, but you are limited. Therefore you stick to the books. Other day one boy in IIT was asking me, that you recommend that we should serve pure devotees. First he asked me, which is better, serving ordinary devotees or serving pure devotees, which is more powerful? So I said, serving pure devotees. Now amongst pure devotees, Maya Devi is also pure devotee. So what if I serve Maya Devi? Is that not better than serving these other people who are in this base, who are not so advanced, who are just getting purified? So rather than serving these sadhakas, let me serve pure devotee. Right? So generally a person who has this muni propensity of mental speculation, so that will simply avoid the process of serving Krishna. So therefore, as far as this propensity is concerned, it should be dealt with very carefully, and one should try to overcome this. And the process of overcoming is, we serve great souls, and then we hear from the great souls, and gradually we become purified. Otherwise what happens is, as you are even reading Prabhupada's books, parallel thoughts are going on. Why this verse is translated like this? Why this word is like this? This word is not there in the original words, it is there in the translation. What is going on? So this is a dangerous propensity, which will ultimately lead you to think that I know more than even Guru, I know more even than Prabhupada, than the Acharyas. So like that. So all of us find difficulty in getting up for chanting in the Brahma Muhurat. Please guide us. So basically, first thing is, you can sleep early. Because if you are finding difficult to get up early, first principle is to sleep early. And then the second principle is that all the members in the family, if they try to get up, it will be easier. Because if only one person fights, then he gets up and then he sees others sleeping, then he feels inspired to continue. Right? And he feels, why should I disturb them? If I get up now, it will be disturbance and they will be disturbed unnecessarily. So as Vaishnava Seva, I will continue sleeping. So if few people decide to get up, it's better. Kali Yuga is a yuga when one person alone cannot do many things. So there needs to be sangha, association. Right? And it's very difficult. Especially if you are having late nights and job hours which are strange. So you can't avoid sleeping. At least we have to avoid ugra type of activities. Our lifestyle should be quite simple. Like I remember when we were shooting for the Atma serial, so this cameraman used to do night shift and used to shoot all night in some Hindi movies, and then from morning 7 o'clock shift he would come for shooting for the Atma, for the Bhagavatam discourses. And here he knows that one fellow starts speaking means he doesn't have any work, so he can peacefully go to sleep. So he will set up the camera, and along with set up the camera, he will set up his bed also behind the camera. And one day I saw him putting one curtain. I said, what are you doing? I said, nahi nahi, thoda bistar laya hum, laga raha hum. I said, what are you going to do? He said, while you are speaking, I will rest. And then when your episode is over, I will get up. So you can imagine, switching on the camera, action, and then khurr, khurr. In the background of lecture going on, everything is silent. One slight snoring sound is heard in the background. So then I asked him, why you are working like this? He said, what to do? That is the only time when people work in the film industry, all night. Right, so if you have these kind of schedules, and even now jobs are such that people have to go into late nights, so it's very, very difficult. So the first principle is, finish your 16 rounds somehow before, you know, going to sleep at night. If you can do that, that is great. And then if you're able to do that for some time, try to get up early in the morning and chant your rounds. And once it becomes a habit, at least it takes 4 to 5 years to break one habit on an average. If you have to change your sleep cycle, like I remember when I was in IIT, all my friends, we would not get up before 8:30, 9 o'clock. Because we would have breakfast at 2:30 only in the morning. Before going to sleep, have breakfast, then sleep from 3 to 9, right? And then get up and immediately run for the classes and come back. And if it is Saturday and Sunday, that means it's a 12-hour shift. Go on sleeping for many hours. So when I first came in the association of devotees, and then there was some discussion about getting up early to chant, and then I asked, what time you chant? And the devotees, they told that 5 o'clock, get up at 4 o'clock. So that was not even like sleeping time, and people are getting up by then, because of the kind of habits which I developed. So then gradually, then the devotee who was coming and preaching to me, he said, you change your waking up time by 15 minutes. So rather than 8:39, you make it 8:30, then make it 8:15, then 8 o'clock, then 7:45. And then gradually by 15 minutes, I was changing. And my wingmates, they got bewildered. And when I entered into the 7 series, 7:45, 7:30, they felt I become a great yogi. Getting up at 7:30, that means you are watching sunrise. Said, yeah, sometimes I watch sunrise. Well, that's a record. Many people spend their college never even seeing the sun in the morning. How the sun looks early in the morning. So then gradually came down to 6:30, 6 o'clock. And by that time everyone felt I was crazy. That before 6 means crazy. So that is a concept people have. So especially if in student time people have spent late nights and all through nights working, shifts and everything. So it is not so easy to break the cycle. So it takes a lot of effort because the modes of nature become deeply entrenched. So by regular habit, by keeping good association, that is possible. So like some devotees I know, they keep some phone cycle, that one person phones up someone else, and then they phone up someone else, and then they phone up. So there is a cycle. They wake up each other by phone calls. Right? So maybe you can try that. Or you can keep few alarm clocks. Like some brahmacharis in the ashram, they used to keep alarms. And because alarm means you have a choice. As soon as it rings, shut it up. Right? And go again to sleep. So they wanted to be extra sincere. They would put the alarms in their locker and lock that. And then they would sleep near the locker, some distance away. So when the alarm rings, they are forced to get up, open the locker, and then switch it off. By that time, there is so much activity, they will lose the sleep. But most of the time, they themselves would not get up. Everyone would get up searching for that. Where that alarm is kept. So, however many plans you may make, unless we decide sincerely that I am going to follow, it's very difficult. All these things remain theoretical only. I think now the presentation is ready. Shri Prabhupada ki. Jai. Jai Gaur Premanande.